We live in time, a time of uncertainty. That could be the understatement maybe of the century. You know, people don't know who to believe. There's political uncertainty. You know, the divide between political viewpoints is ever increasing. You know, who's going to win? The next election remains uncertain. There's economic uncertainty. You know, people aren't always sure about their job. You know, where's the stock market going to go? Sometimes the only certainty is uncertainty. There's relational uncertainty. You don't know how someone's going to react to what you say or to what you think. There's schedule uncertainty. You know, there's all the different changes that have happened in schools. There's canceling of various events. I mean, even the teen campout was canceled for this week. You know, people wonder, am I going to work from home or am I going to, you know, have to go to work? There's uncertainty maybe of future requirements. You know, now they're requiring masks. You know, when are they going to start requiring goggles? You know, maybe pretty soon it's going to be spacesuits or something. I'm not sure. But anyways, there's all sorts of uncertain things that are happening. You know, people don't know what's going to happen next. People aren't sure who to trust. People are living maybe in fear of what might happen. People can wonder, you know, do I have the virus or do I not have the virus? You know, was the test accurate or was it inaccurate? You know, we cannot allow the uncertainty of our times to influence the certainty of our faith. We must not allow the instability of the day to move us from the stability that we have in Jesus Christ. The devil would like to do whatever he can to keep you unstable so that he can prevent you from going forward and accomplishing God's will for your life. This morning, I'd like to speak on nothing doubting. Three requirements to going forward in uncertain times. Nothing doubting. And then the subtitle, three requirements to going forward in uncertain times. We read in Acts chapter 11 this morning as Peter rehearsed how God had called him to go to Cornelius and to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, in many ways, Peter had gone through some uncertain times. If you think of what happened to the disciples as Christ was leading them, and then Christ was crucified, and he was gone. There was some great and challenging times that the disciples went through as he was crucified, and they were down in the dumps. They thought everything was lost. And then, on the third day, he rises again. And they go from sorrow to jubilation. But in all of that, they really never had to experience the sorrow that they went through because Christ had told them of the crucifixion. Christ had told them of the resurrection. But they had not believed. And because they had not believed, they had experienced the sorrow that came because of the doubt that was in their lives. And then what happened? Christ was resurrected, but then he ascended back to heaven. You know, then the Holy Spirit came upon them and a great power came upon the apostles as they had the power of Spirit upon their ministry. But then we have the whole transition from the Jews going to the Gentiles. So there were some challenges that were happening in the life of Peter. In the passage that we read this morning, there's really one verse that I wanted to focus on, and then we're going to turn back to chapter 10. In Acts chapter 11, Peter is rehearsing what took place in Acts chapter 10. But as God told him to go to Cornelius's house, I want to look at verse number 12. As Peter recounts what took place, it says, "And the Spirit bade me," or told me, "go with them." Then it says there, "nothing doubting. Notice that phrase, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Now, if we go back to chapter 10, as these events unfold, chapter 11 is the recounting of what took place in chapter 10. So in chapter 10, Peter had the vision of the animals, both clean and unclean, and God, you know, told him, what I've called clean, don't you call common or unclean. All right, so are unclean. So this happens to Peter three times. And then in verse number 17, it says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You know, Peter could continue to wrestle with this issue of should he go with these Gentiles? Should he go to this place? He could continue to wrestle with it in his mind, or he could set any doubts that he had aside, set any lack, any distinguishing of Jews and Gentiles aside, and he could trust God completely and go forward. And God told him, if you're going to go forward, it's going to require, first of all, doubting nothing. And first requirement I'd like us to see, if we're going to go forward in uncertain times, going forward requires the complete removal of doubt. If Peter was going to go forward, he had to set whatever evaluations that he had in his mind aside, and he had to go. You know, sometimes we face a decision in life. And I know with myself, we can sit there and we can try to evaluate everything thoroughly. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ever evaluate things. But sometimes that evaluation can be because we are doubting. And there's a point that we need to come to of decisiveness where we need to set the doubts aside so that we can go forward. And so it says here, doubting nothing. And then in chapter 11, as Peter's rehearsing it, we see the same words there, doubting nothing. You know, what is it? What does the word nothing mean? Well, you can look it up in the Greek if you want. And it means, you know, those of you that have taken Greek and you learned maybe the Mount's vocabulary definition of it, it would be, no, it's the word for no one, none, nothing. All right, so guess what it means? Nothing. All right. So there's supposed to be none of it there. All right. You need to go forward. It's really a simple thing, but yet a really simple definition, but yet has great implications for what needs to take place in our lives. You know, we can be unsure of ourselves. We can wonder, can I do this? I don't know if this is going to take place. How is this going to happen? You know, we can be unsure of ourselves, but we never should be unsure of our God. And the problem is that when we have doubts in our lives, it's because we have forgotten the surety, the steadfastness, the confidence that we can have in our God. We can be unsure of circumstances, but we never should be unsure of our God who is in control of the circumstances around us. You know, this morning, if you're going to go forward, there must be the complete removal of doubt. And God told Peter, the Holy Spirit told Peter, nothing doubting. Set it aside. Get over this in your own life and get going on the pathway that I have for you. There were Gentiles that were ready to receive the gospel. And Peter had to set aside his own doubts, had to set aside his own thinking, and he had to embrace what God had for him. You know, this morning, there may be some unsureties. There may be some things that you're not sure about in your life this morning. But if you're going to go forward, you've got to get rid of the doubts so that you can accomplish the task that God has for you. So first of all, going forward requires the complete removal of doubt. Secondly, I'd like us to see going forward requires the complete recognition of doubt. If we're going to remove doubt out of our lives, we need to see doubt for what it truly is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21 this morning. And here we see in Matthew 21 this same word for doubt that's used in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11 in reference when God said, doubting nothing. Matthew 21, verse 21, somewhat familiar passage. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and what? And doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. First of all, we need to see that the enemy, the opposite or the enemy of faith is doubt. All right? You need to recognize what doubt is. First of all, it's the enemy. It's the opposite of faith. It says, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and what? And doubt not. All right? So faith is the opposite. Doubt is the opposite of faith. All right, faith is dependence, it's trust, it's stability. All right, doubt really is the opposite of that. It's instability, it's unsurety, it's really trying to figure something out. You're just not sure what's happening. And so we need to recognize that doubt is the enemy of faith. It's really the same passage over in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 23 reiterates the same truth. For verily I say, Mark 11 verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So again, here we see the opposite of faith is doubt. So you need to recognize it as the enemy or the opposite of faith. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 25, it says, referring to Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So he staggered not. You think of somebody staggering. They're really just not able to attain. They're maybe limping about at something. He staggered not at the promise of God, unsure of something through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All right, faith is that stabilizing force, so to speak. All right, our faith is not the stabilizing force. It is the object of our faith, God, that is the reason for our stability. And we see that with Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. All right, Abraham didn't go about doubting God, but he understood that what God had said was going to come to pass. And then it even has implications for salvation. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it talks about us, verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. You know, Satan wants you to be filled with doubt, but God wants you to trust him. And we need to see doubt as that enemy, as that opposite of faith. Do you want a stable life or do you want an unstable life? We need to see doubt as the enemy, as the opposite of faith. We can also see that doubt can be influenced by those around us. All right, here in this passage, Peter went forward by faith. He believed God, but we see in Galatians chapter 2 that he became influenced by those around him. You know, you get around the wrong people and it can influence you to allow doubt to creep into your life. And Paul here is recounting what took place. But when Peter was come to Antioch, Galatians 2:11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. All right, so the word dissimulation really has the idea of their hypocrisy. So they were pretending to be something that they were not. It's to create a public impression that is at odds with one's real purpose or motivations. It can be the idea of play acting. All right, it can be an outward show. And so they dissembled, they joined in playing a part. Or they joined in this pretending. So they kind of, so to speak, going along with these Jews. And so we find Peter, we find Barnabas influenced by those around them. We find in Acts chapter 11, Peter was what? He stood up. All right, he stood up and he declared what God had done. There was no fear there. But here, Peter allowed himself to be influenced by those around him. And it can be very easy for us to allow the doubt of others to influence the steadfastness of our faith. So as we really recognize doubt, we need to see it as the enemy of faith. We need to see that it can be influenced by those around us. You know, do you have friends that are full of faith? Or do you have friends that are causing you to doubt? You know, many a young person has gone downhill because they have surrounded themselves with doubters. They've gone maybe to a school that has influenced them to not put their dependence upon God, but to begin to doubt. We need to understand, and even the Apostle Peter allowed himself to be influenced by those around him. I'd like us to go to James chapter 1. We can see something here about doubt that is really, it's the essence of instability. Doubt is not something that we want in our lives. It creates this instability. Doubt and instability go right together. Notice what it says in James 1:6. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. All right, that word for waver, I believe, is the same word for doubting that's used in Acts, in the story about Peter. All right, so nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. All right, so he that wavereth is compared to a wave of the sea. And what's the wave of the sea influenced by? The wave of the sea is influenced by the wind. So it's really the essence of instability. You are at the mercy of whatever is happening around you. When you don't ask in faith, the Bible says you're like a you waver like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and tossed. And that's what you become like when you allow doubt to overtake you in your life. You are really at the mercy of the circumstances that are taking place around you rather than trusting God and having your complete faith in Him. So we need to see doubt. It's really the essence of instability. You know, if you found your life to become unstable, all right, when you're, what's happening? The circumstances that you have been surrounded by have influenced the decisions that you are making rather than the eternal God who is our refuge. So it's the essence of instability. But then I'd like us to go over to Romans chapter 14. I think this is a very important point to recognize that maybe we know, but we don't really always really take account of in our lives. Romans chapter 14. So we need to really recognize what doubt is. All right, it's the opposite, or it's the enemy of faith. It's influenced by those around us. Better be careful who you hang around. It's the essence of instability. All right, we're just like the wave of the sea. We're driven with the wind. All right, the wave is driven by the influence that's around the wave, the wind blowing upon the wave, and that's what we're like. But then fourthly, the fourth thing that we need to recognize about doubt is found in Romans 14:23. It says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And notice this statement, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, many of us know the verse in 1 John that sin is the what? Sin is the transgression of the law. But here it gives us another definition for sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We know that doubt is the opposite of faith. And what do you need to recognize doubt? You need to recognize doubt for what it truly is. And that is, it's simply, it is sin. You know what? God wants us to be decisive. He wants to have us to have that confidence in Him, in the decisions of life that we make. And when we have that instability in our lives, when our lives are not firmly grounded upon the truths of God's Word, but are rather influenced by those around us, and we find ourselves making decisions based upon the people that we are around or the relatives that we are around, rather than upon the unchanging truths of God's Word, the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to recognize doubt for what it truly is, and it truly and simply is sin. You know, this morning, do you see that doubt that has crept into your life? Do you see it for what it is? Do you see it as sin? You know, if you're not going forward in your Christian life, then what's happened? Well, there's doubt that's crept into your life. And God told Peter, nothing doubting. And you need to recognize wherever that source of that doubt that's come into your life. And you need to call it what God calls it as sin, so that can be removed from your life so that you can begin to trust God and go forward. So we need to see what doubt is. It's sin. God wants us to be decisive in our lives And doubt is the opposite of decisiveness. We need to have wisdom in the decisions of life, but sometimes what we call careful evaluation is actually doubt. And we must recognize it as sin and a hindrance to us going forward by faith. You know, are we sitting there analyzing everything so much that we're never being decisive for God? Now, yeah, there's people out there that never analyze anything and they just fall headlong and they're foolish in their decision. Obviously, Proverbs gives us wisdom on making wise decisions. But other times, we can have the opposite thing, where maybe we're sitting there like Peter, and we want to continue to evaluate and continue to think everything over when God says, hey, there's people out there, and you know, you need to be doubting nothing. You need to go with them and accomplish what I have for you. You know, this morning, where do you find yourself? It's so easy to have that lack of decisiveness in our lives and not make the decision that God wants us to make. Because we're kind of on either side, you know, we just don't know what to do and we're wondering what to do. Well, God wants us to have faith, to set the doubt aside and to trust Him and to go forward. So we see, first of all, going forward requires the complete removal of doubt. Secondly, going forward requires the complete recognition of doubt. We need to see it as the enemy of faith. We need to see it as sin. We need to see it as influenced by those that are around us. We need to see it as instability in our lives. But lastly, the first two are somewhat negative. The last one is really positive. Going forward requires a complete reliance on God. We saw faith as the opposite. We've already kind of, you know, spoken of this some in the message. But as we looked at some of the first of all, Peter, what did Peter have to do? He had to trust God. God had just told him something. And was he going to go by his own inhibitions? Or was he going to trust what God had said and put his confidence in him? Abraham, he could have looked at his own body, said, boy, I'm old. How is this ever going to happen? The circumstances of life definitely are not pointing to the fact that we're going to have a child, that my wife's going to have a child. And he could have sat there and looked at the circumstances of life, but instead, he decided to trust God and to put his reliance upon Him. We looked at James chapter 1 and verse 6. And the verse before that, verse 5, you know, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him what? Ask in faith. All right, nothing wavering. So our confidence needs to be in God, that if, you know, we ask for wisdom, he's going to what? He's going to give it. All right, I'd like us to see Colossians chapter 2. And verse number 7, notice what it says here. It says, rooted, well, actually, let's start in verse 6. It says, ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, when you're walking, you're what? There's action. You're going forward. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Going forward requires a complete reliance upon God. We need to be rooted. We need to be built up in Him. Not in ourselves, you know, not in the government, not in your friends, not anything else, but we need to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, if you're going to go forward this morning, you've got to look outside your circumstances. You've got to look outside the struggles that you're facing. You know, there can be some real struggles. There can be some real battles in our mind. You know, what's happening? What's going on? But we need to see how the devil wants to hamper our faith and our trust in God, that no matter if it looks like nothing's going to work out, we still have our confidence in Him. And we're going to make our decisions not based upon the surrounding circumstances, but based upon our firm trust and reliance that we have in God. And then we can go forward. You know, if Peter would have looked at the circumstances around him, what would he have done? He would have stayed home. But instead, he decided to set his doubt aside and to trust God completely. In conclusion, I'd like us to go to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Philippians chapter 3, and I'd like to begin in verse number 8. It says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, this morning, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You need to set aside your own thinking. You need to set aside your own apparent righteousness. And this morning, you need to put your complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to see that doubt. You need to see that lack of being sure as the enemy of faith. But then, after you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, notice later on in the chapter, in verse number 12, 13, and 14, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, God wants us to have that forward look where we're pressing toward the mark. We're pressing towards the goal. We're pressing towards that which God has in store for us. You know, and sometimes it requires getting rid, you know, not letting the past cloud our thinking. And this morning, maybe there's some doubt that you need to set aside. Maybe there's some instability. Maybe there's just a lack of not knowing what to do. And you need to realize that maybe Satan has got you in his own trap of doubt, of that lack of confidence and trust in God. And it's causing you to lag behind spiritually when God wants you to look to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, this morning, are you going to press toward the mark? Are you going to be looking unto Jesus? Are you going to, like Peter, God told Peter, doubting nothing, so that you can go out and accomplish the will and the purpose that God has for your life? You know, we live in uncertain times, but we don't have to live like we are in uncertain times, because we have something, we have someone certain that we can live by. And no matter what doubts may be hammering us from the outside, we have a sure faith on the inside in the promises of God that can guide us to the sure place and the sure will that God has for each one of us. You know, believer, this morning I challenge you, don't stop. Don't get overwhelmed by the circumstances around you. But may you allow God to pull those doubts out of you, to recognize them as sin, so that God can lead you forward into His perfect plan and will for your life. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us to follow, Lord, the same plan that You had for Peter of doubting nothing. Lord, may we be decisive this morning. May You help us not to flounder, but to live by faith. And Lord, the circumstances of life, Lord, weakness, pain, sickness, financial struggles can be overwhelming. And Lord, can cause us to get our eyes off of You. And Lord, I pray that You would encourage Your people this morning to set the doubts aside and to recognize that You are the faithful One who has promised. And this morning, if there's one, Lord, watching, Lord, the live stream that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they would be willing to see their doubt as sin. And Lord, that they would repent of that this morning. And that they would look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the One who is their Savior. Lord, we just pray that You would work in hearts and accomplish Your will. And Lord, as You would want us to make decisions this morning, that we would be willing to do that so that Your will and Your plan can be accomplished in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.